Level check. Hey, that looks nice. Let's do it. From the studios of Wavefront Audiovisual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 100 of Little Brother for the 10th of September, 2022. Stay tuned. Little Brother is right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants and not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can write me at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. So, let's get started. Bad news for Android users. Alphabet, the parent company of Android and Google, amongst others, have announced that they are cracking down on applications in the Google Play Store that use a VPN for the purpose of blocking advertisements. As Alphabet's business model is based on analytics and advertising, this should not be a surprise. Cloud filtering, however, appears unaffected for the time being. Apps such as Blockada version 5 or DuckDuckGo will be impacted. Blockada version 6, however, uses cloud filtering rather than a VPN and will continue to be usable. At the same time, the option still exists to use your own VPN or proxy server. However, I do acknowledge that this is a technical and non-trivial solution and not for everyone. Also unaffected will be apps loaded from other sources, such as F-Droid, for instance. The Data Protection Commission, or DPC, of the Irish government has levied a fine of €405 million, a little bit over $409 million, against Meta, the parent company of Facebook and Instagram, amongst others. The fines stem from an investigation into how Instagram handled the data of minors. Instagram have released new settings and configurations to prevent a recurrence, and they have expressed intent to appeal the fine. As you have heard me mention a few times since the Supreme Court repealed Roe v. Wade, I've had a concern which, as I've also mentioned, has been occasionally realized, that abortion opponents would be using the ubiquitous surveillance that we have all come to accept as normal in our lives to track down and penalize women seeking abortions. This is made even more tenuous by bounty systems put in place in some states, starting with Texas, that basically give every single person in the country, maybe even the world, standing in court to sue for violations of the law and collect $10,000 judgments. Crisis pregnancy centers, which hold out the hope of assistance for pregnant women but are operated by abortion opponents, have become a way to generate leads on cases, which can then be followed up by purchasing people's data from brokers, leading to a very toxic and dangerous situation. However, there is some good news. Let's start with Twitter. In a blog post last month, Twitter have announced new developer policies which prohibit the use of Twitter and its APIs for use by law enforcement for surveillance purposes. Developers who violate this policy will be subjected to what Twitter has termed appropriate action, which can include suspension and termination of access to Twitter's public APIs and data products. Meanwhile, the U.S. Federal Trade Commission, or FTC, has sued a company called Cochava Inc. Cochava, based in Sandpoint, Idaho, is a provider of data analytics. The suit claims that Cochava have been aggregating data that could be used to track people at abortion clinics or other places where they may have legitimate desires not to be tracked. The lawsuit seeks a permanent injunction against Cochava and possible additional relief. Cochava have, of course, claimed that the suit is meritless and stems from a misunderstanding of their business model. With version 12.3 of macOS, the operating system now includes XProtect Remediator, an enhancement to the XProtect malware detection software. With this enhancement, macOS machines now scan for malware at every opportunity, putting them in a state of alertness that Windows has had for some time. Remediator will quarantine any malware that it locates, preventing an infection. There is no information on whether or not the EIQR attack discussed in episode 46 will now work on Macs. QNAP, the maker of network-attached storage devices, or NASes, has warned that a new data-destroying malware called Deadbolt has been attacking QNAP appliances. The impacted systems are those running QTS versions 426 through 501 with PhotoStation. QNAP has offered some advice and guidance on their website, which include blocking internet access to your device, using secure passwords, making good backups, and what piece of malware advice would be complete without it? Patch your systems! And finally, it is with a heavy heart that I inform you that Dr. Peter Eckersley, PhD, has passed away. Eckersley was one of the original founders of an encryption-enabling service called Let's Encrypt, which functions as a certificate authority at no cost to websites around the world, including mine. Let's Encrypt helped to make the internet a far more secure place by removing the barriers of cost and red tape that stood between small websites and a properly secured internet web presence. Eckersley was diagnosed with cancer earlier this year and passed away at the age of 43. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. Well, here we are again. It's time for another round of Who Got Pwned in the Last 2 Weeks. This'll teach me to take a vacation. We have 5. So, I'm going to go through the first 4 quickly because they're kind of the run of the mill. The first one is DoorDash. This was an offshoot of the Twilio hack that I've been talking about for a few episodes now. By way of Twilio, an attacker was able to get access to the internal tools of DoorDash, gaining access to the data of both employees and customers. The exposure would have gotten hold of names, email addresses, delivery addresses, phone numbers, and partial credit card numbers for customers, and for names, email addresses, and phone numbers for the Dashers. There is no info on how many people are affected. Next, we have the Oklahoma Student Loan Authority, or OSLA. The target of this breach appears to have been Nelnet, a Nebraska-based student loan servicing company. However, OSLA was who actually got hit, affecting 2.5 million borrowers. Compromised data consists of names, email addresses, and postal addresses, phone numbers, and social security numbers. To the students who are affected, all I can say is welcome to adulthood, guys. TikTok. Oh, good grief, TikTok. Can I just say that this thing is already a fully involved privacy dumpster fire, but now it's leaking personal data. If you really must use this monstrosity, please do not use the same password that you are using on TikTok anyplace else, and consider setting up two-factor authentication. These are things you should do anyway, but please do it here. If you do use your TikTok password anyplace else, change it, but not in TikTok. Change it everywhere else, and for the love of all that is right and good in the universe, please stop reusing passwords. The IRS is next. They fired an own goal, accidentally releasing the personal information of about 120,000 U.S. taxpayers. Not a huge breach considering the size of the organization and the number of people whose data they handle overall, but for those 120,000 taxpayers, this has long year written all over it. The breach was associated with Form 990-T, which is used to report unrelated business income. As such, most taxpayers are not in the affected group. Be grateful. But I saved the best for last because this one, this is kind of brilliant. So you might be aware that there is this war going on between Russia and Ukraine. If you've been paying attention here, you'll know that I've been expecting various cyber attacks to be involved. But this one. So we've all heard of denial of service attacks. Usually when we think of these, we think of repeated requests to websites or other servers that cause the servers to buckle under the load, or even if they don't collapse, to be just left with no time or bandwidth to respond to legitimate requests from users. This one? This puts a whole new spin on denial of service. It seems as though the attackers hacked, of all things, a taxi service in Moscow. The largest one, in fact, Yandex Taxi. All right, I hear you. I hear you going, yeah, so what? Right. Because, of course, if you can't get a taxi from Yandex, you go to one of the competitors, right? Well, yes, I'm sure they didn't have any taxis available to dispatch, but that's not even the best part. You see, what they did was they dispatched all the taxis, all of them, to one single address on Kutuzovsky Prospect. They did not just DOS the taxi service, they DOS'd the city. All the taxis going to Kutuzovsky Prospect caused a traffic jam that lasted 2 hours. It's probably very bad of me to feel this much schadenfreude over it, but that sort of creative thinking is what makes a good pun, and quite frankly, that's pretty amusing. As I mentioned at the start of the show, this is episode 100 of Little Brother, and I wanted to take a few minutes to look back at where this show came from and how we got here. I have, sitting in front of me right now, a notebook. I don't know exactly when these notes were taken because I didn't yet have the habit of dating my notes. It was probably somewhere around 1999 or 2000 or so, but it's a steno pad with some red ink on it that I used to keep all of my ideas. One of many such notebooks, and on page 25, we find the following words. Concept. Half-hour radio show titled Little Brother. The show where we talk about technological and social issues and tell on Big Brother. Mix should be about 50 to 60% off the hook. 20-30% Radio Free America, Balanced Democracy Now. Should be interesting. And a set of dots trailed off from there, followed by a list of things that I was going to need, how I was going to distribute the show, and where to get ideas to talk about. The original idea was to use a peer-to-peer service that sadly is no longer with us. It was called Napster, to distribute the show as a very low bitrate MP3 file. Podcasts hadn't been invented yet, and I didn't have any servers where I could post the show because my own internet connection was still over dial-up. I'd fix that within a couple of months, but still. Anyway, one Thursday in 2000s, I made this happen.
Hello, it's Thursday night, October 19th, 2000, and this is Little Brother. This is episode 1 of Little Brother, and tonight we'll be introducing ourselves, talking about carnivore, digital bank robberies, digital TV, gun control, overzealous lawyers, and a lot more. So stay tuned, because Little Brother is about to tell on Big Brother. Hello, and thanks for tuning in to episode 1 of Little Brother, the show where we talk about hacking, telephone systems, computer systems, and of course we tell on Big Brother. If you like this show, I'd like you to ask that you please feel free to copy it to whatever medium you choose, propagate it as far and wide as you can. I want this show to get out there. This radio program is open sourced. Take any portion, make any derivative work you will from it, just as long as what you make out of it is also open sourced. Most of you will be hearing this program streamed over the internet as a 16 kbps MP3 file. If you'd like a better sounding copy of it, please contact me. Contact information will be given out at the end of the show. So, with a quick nod to Amy Goodman, the boldest journalist that I know of, and Emmanuel Goldstein, the king of hackers, I give you episode 1 of Little Brother.
My current regular listeners may recognize the theme music as Space Debris by Captain Image, my current closing theme, and the opening monologue to be done over Space Debris by Zap, which currently accompanies the fail of the week. I'd chosen music that came from the massive repository that my fellow Amiga users had built up in the form of mod files, because the music itself was largely open source. Obviously, I still use it to this day. And that reverb? That is there because the microphone I had and was using was just bloody awful. You might also notice that I had to kind of describe the idea of Creative Commons because Creative Commons didn't exist yet. Around that time, I started telling some folks about it, and one friend of mine, Tim Lake, also known as Frater Huechen, a very difficult to pronounce conglomerate of Latin and Welsh, told me that if I gave him a copy of the show on CD, he would play it in his airtime slot at a local radio station. That station, WRPI, was at the time what they called a communiversity radio station. It is owned and operated by Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, and while it is a college radio station, it is a very big and powerful one, which also allowed members of the community it serves to get on the air if there are any openings left after the students have gotten their air slots. Episode 2, then, had this in it.
Thank you for tuning in to Little Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host this afternoon. I'd like to begin this afternoon's episode by giving a great big thanks to Tim Lake for graciously donating a half hour of his airtime on station WRPI in Troy, New York for his program. Since many of you are listening to this program for the first time, let me recap what this show is about. About 12 years ago, a rather bold hacker turned journalist by the name of Emmanuel Goldstein started a radio program in New York City's WBAI to supplement his quarterly magazine, 2600. Over the years, he expressed repeatedly that he wished that there were other programs and magazines similar to his as demonstration of a flourish in his community. His community is my community. Our community is spread out all over the world, and we use the media we produce as a way to unite. On Goldstein's show, he talks about communications via computer, internet, telephone, radio, satellite, and so on, and discusses the social issues tied to the technology that he discusses. My goal is to provide that same service to upstate New York and wherever else my signal may reach by way of the internet. On this afternoon's program, we'll be concentrating especially on community radio, what it is, what's happening to it. We'll also be talking about silly phone tree options, internet censorship, and anything else that we can fit into 30 minutes. So sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Shortly after recording the episode, I found a site called the A-Infos Radio Project. It's still around, by the way. A site that provided syndication for community-produced radio programs, and I started syndicating it there, and we were off. The next year, I personally got involved at WRPI, and I started sitting in for shows that were taking a week off here or there. The first such air slot was sitting in for an LGBTQ-oriented show called Homo Radio, where I teamed up with my friend Pete Houston, and it got off with all of the grace of a hippopotamus.
Good morning, Capital District.
Well, we seem to be having our share of startup technical problems, so we'll just play something from the while we try to figure them out.
The.
Maybe this is the guy we need to help us out.
Now, the song I dropped there by the is called Helpline Operator, and I'm not quite sure how I got such a perfect track picked out so quickly, but there it is. And then we tried again.
Seems like we have our technical issues under control here, so we'll let the helpline operator go.
Enough of the technical issues and the personal issues.
So let's get this show on the road, shall we?
Explain to the people what the show is before we put it on the road. What's All going right. on here today at WRPI Troy?
You're listening to WRPI Troy, and from the studios of WRPI Troy, this is episode 7 of Little Brother.
Oh,
wait a minute. First, before we get carried away here,
who is not here?
Programming note.
Yes, programming note.
Homo Radio will not be on this week. However, they've assured us that they will be returning next week at the regular time. So anyway, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, what happens when you mix the two, and like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and sitting across the room from me here is Pete Houston.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pete.
Well, it's afternoon, isn't it?
All right. Close enough.
It's Sunday.
It's a Sunday. It may as well be morning. You know, that's the way you have to take Sundays, really. At any rate, we're going to take a moment here to get everything put together that was not put together while we were scrambling to get the technical issues put together. And Little Brother will start in just a minute.
Then we got an air slot.
This is kind of a red letter day for this program. Starting tonight, this program will be featured regularly here on WRPI Troy every Friday night from 7 to 9, except when I'm on vacation. I owe a lot of thanks to many people for making it all possible. So shout outs go to my wife, Mariah, who encouraged me, or at least put up with me, putting this project together, to Marcus, who may not remember doing so, but initially inspired this program, to Tim Lake, who encouraged me to bring this program to air, to Crazy Phil, who donated one of his domain sites for the website, to WRPI, which gave me a chance to try it, to Matt, who showed me the ropes, to Eon Blues and the V-Man out at Free Radio Santa Cruz and Harvey out in the desert at KPAH Pahrump, Nevada, who aired this program in other areas, and to the A-Infos Radio Project, who gave me a distribution medium. Your comments, opinions, and questions are welcome. The phone lines are open at area code 518. If you're listening to this program on a station other than WRPI, please only call between 7 and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on May 25th. If it's any other time than that, then you're listening to a recorded program. The number again is area code 518. So let's get started.
Now, interestingly enough, in that episode, I got my first ever listener contact. When a listener called into the studio, and in that call, I gave out my first OPSEC tip about cordless phones, a technology now largely in the past.
I think right there, America really like lost its innocence, you know, and the people that are generally running the country now, like, I mean, hell, anybody that's ever done any good, they shoot them down.
Now, I hear a small amount of interference on your telephone. Are you on a cordless?
It's probably because where I'm standing in my building. There we go.
Okay. Yes, it is. Are you on a cordless telephone?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And
which has probably picked up
some
of the emails I sent out. You know, I'm afraid to check responses sometimes.
That's actually where I was just about to go, because one of the things I learned about them many years ago is that you have to think in terms of anything that has an antenna and anything that takes audio from near it and sends it to someplace else. That audio can probably be intercepted.
Oh, it is. It is all the time.
Episode 13 brought in some new voices.
My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host for the next hour. Also in the studio with us today, we have Phil Palmateer and Lillian Lasher. Say hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Okay.
I'm little brother's little sister.
You know, I'm just sitting here with this big metal microphone in front of my face, and it's rather intimidating. I feel like I'm being probed by aliens.
You'll get used to it soon enough. So anyway, up tonight, we're going to go through the headlines as usual. We're also going to talk about the arrest of Dmitry Skylyarov, CDs with copy protection, and give you an update on Napster. That is as soon as things stop being chaotic around here. So stay tuned, because little brother is right around the corner.
These would become regulars on the show, transforming the show into a panel discussion. At this point, we were only one cast member short of our final number.
Tonight we have, or this afternoon, I keep saying tonight because I'm used to being on in the evenings, but this afternoon, Phil and Lil are not here for some reason, and that's all right. I mean, they have lives too. And we'll pass this on because we have Pete Fazette is in the studio. Say hi, Pete.
Hi, Pete.
Yeah, and somehow I knew you were going to do that. And we also have an intern in the studio tonight. Say hello, Fong.
How we doing?
Doing all right.
Yep, from that date on, Fongaboo was one of the regulars in our panel discussions. So some time passed, and in 2002, I decided to hang it up for a time. And episode 43 started like this.
This is episode 43 of Little Brother, and this is the last episode. Stay tuned, Little Brother is right around the corner.
And then an uncomfortable radio silence fell over the space. Are you uncomfortable? I was. In 2021, 19 years later, as things were starting to relax from the COVID pandemic, I started to think seriously about starting it back up again. I decided to just play with it a little bit. So, I made a trailer. Are you a technophile, maker, or hacker? Or maybe you're just trying to survive in the digital world we all live in? Well, Little Brother is back, hosted as always by yours truly, Freakature. Little Brother is the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, greed, corruption, and all the things that happen when you mix them together. Each episode, we'll bring you the tech headlines, commentary, and in-depth coverage of what you need to know to stay safe. That's right, Little Brother is here to tell on Big Brother, and boy, have we got some doozies. That's all coming up on Little Brother, coming soon to a podcast device near you. Little Brother is presented in surround sound. Also available in more. Well, maybe I'd do that. Or maybe I'd do something else. I was thinking about doing dramatic productions of Reddit stories. But the hint that the universe wanted this for me came when Lotus, a member of the Albany 2600 group, asked me if I could use a piece of audio kit that he had. It was exactly what I needed. He brought it to the next 2600 meeting for me, the first in-person meeting in over a year. Snackness was there, and he asked me what I was going to use it for, so I told him about the radio show and how I was going to resume it as a podcast. Wait, did that just slip out? Yeah, I guess it did. All right, I guess the decision was made. I couldn't not do it. So within the month, I sat down with Fongaboo, we built the website, and on July 24th, episode 43 was published. It's a little less than 14 months later now. We're now 100 episodes deep. I don't know how long this will continue, but for now, there is no end in sight. Thank you for joining me on this journey. It would be completely pointless without you. As usual, we'll end this week's show with the fail of the week. This one is a little bit odd because it's not a single entity. Rather, it's an environmental problem. The environment in question is Apple's iOS, the operating system that runs on iPhone and iPod and iPad and maybe some other iThings as well. But I'm going to be perfectly blunt here. I think this same thing could easily turn up in other platforms, so do be careful not to give in to hubris here. So, quick background, the various apps that you use need to be able to access the servers that run them. An exceptionally large number of these apps use Amazon Web Services, or AWS, to operate the back end. There are usernames and passwords or other credentials that are used by the apps to log into the services, but on the whole, you don't need these to run a properly designed app. The app shouldn't be logging into AWS, but rather it should be logging into the services that you are running on AWS that the app creator built. Symantec have determined that this is not the case across the board, and that about 1,900 apps for iOS have shipped out with AWS credentials in them, which is potentially dangerous because that gives the app too much permission, and that is an opportunity to end up in the other repeating feature of this show, the Pwn of the Week. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fongaboo and The Crowded Helix for web hosting support. Shout out to the Albany 2600 group. Special thanks to Joe Cadillac, Knight Rider 007, Azrael, Kylo Ren, Fongaboo, and Snackness for story leads. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80. Our Who Got Pwnt music is Analog Summer 3 by Asarhad. Our Fail of the Week music is Space Reggae by Zap, and our opening theme and bumper is Around Chaos by Heatseeker, and our closing theme is Space Debris by Captain Image. If you have questions or comments about this podcast or want to join the conversation, please drop me an email at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. Join us next week when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Stay safe and be well. Is this the mic that's working? And not necessarily those of anyone else who may play. Delivery addresses, phone numbers, and partial credit numbers for customers. and names, email address. Let's start that whole paragraph again. Who actually got hit? Yeah, let's try this again. If you do use your TikTok, I just put TikTok, okay. Yeah, let's fix that typo. And for the love of all that is right and the good in the universe, please, please. Better do that sentence again because I lost my place. Let's just start the whole thing over. And the opening monologue to be done over a let's not get too arrogant about it. Too conceited about it. Yeah, okay. Conceited, is that the right word? Glib? No. Conceited? Arrogant? What is the word I'm looking for? What is the word I'm looking for? Let's just say we'll beware of hubris. Let's try that one more time.